been to a lunch or a dinner, and you're sitting around the table, and often in that occasion, somebody would get a glass and ting, 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 ting. For this morning's purposes, I thought it'd be difficult for me to get a glass, so I got a little bell. Imagine somebody rings this bell. My wife was ringing this bell last night in our garden, and I was sure people thought reindeer was arriving, and the kids would all be looking. I thought, Nix, put it away. But she was happily just late at night. But imagine sitting at this table and somebody does and they say, I have an announcement to make. I have an announcement to make. Have you ever experienced that? Perhaps you're the person who does that. You've been courageous enough to, I have an announcement to make. Those are powerful words, but it definitely gets the attention of everybody. Everybody stops what they're doing the moment they hear, I have an announcement to make. I wonder, how do you respond when somebody does that at the table and says, I have an announcement to make? Some people, you panic. You panic because there's an announcement. Is it good? Is it bad? Will your world change forevermore based on this announcement? You might not even feel emotionally prepared for big announcements at the table. Some of you, though, you love them. You love announcements. It's new news. Something's different. Something's changing. Something's happening. How exciting. I was just thinking about big announcements being made. Let's have a look at some of the big announcements that were made throughout history. Some of the big headlines that we've seen being made. The war is over. That was a big announcement, wasn't it? The war's ended. What about landed on the moon? Men have landed on the moon. Now, we're not discussing that today. That's not why we're here. I know some of you out there, you're like, that's a conspiracy, and I'm bringing in lies and bad world history. We're not doing that today. But it was a headline. It was a big announcement. What about Mandela being free? That was a big announcement. Free at last, Nelson Mandela. Let's have a look at some more. A bit of PTSD for all of us here. When the president says, I'm calling a family meeting. Do you remember those? That was a big announcement. And you wondered, what was the big announcement when the president said, I'm calling us all together, family? Remember how we loved it at first, and after a while we're like, this is just a gimmick. What family? What coming together? This is not fun. I guess my kids, they don't like it when dad says, come guys, let's get in the lounge, we're going to have a little discussion. They've learned, those normally aren't great discussions. And then just to end the year off well, big announcement, the Bucks win. We can't get enough of that. What a good year. What a good year. What about some personal announcements? Those are big historical announcements throughout the ages. But maybe you've made some big announcements. And Cole's made four really big announcements to me, which became four little announcements that arrived, my kids. Some of them were more daunting than others. But maybe you've heard the announcements or you've posted online, she said yes, or we're having a baby, or I got my degree, or I've been accepted to, or we're moving to. You know, you've got your own announcements that you've made. Well, this morning, this Christmas morning, we get to celebrate the fulfillment of one of the greatest announcements that were ever made. And as our kids were sharing this morning, this is why we celebrate Christmas. Because an announcement was made, and an announcement was fulfilled, and it's a great one. It's a great one. God announces, I have an announcement to make, that he will send his son, who will be named Jesus, to be born and who will walk this earth to save all people. The announcement. So I'm going to do that a while this morning. I hope it doesn't annoy you. God says, I'm sending a savior. That's his announcement. What's amazing with this announcement is God didn't just make it once at the dinner table. God started making this announcement thousands of years before the event actually came to be. Have a look in scripture, all the way in Genesis chapter 28. That's thousands of years before Jesus was born. God says this promise to Abraham. He says, in you, and in fact, he says this to Jacob, in you and your offspring. So from your family, from your line, this is speaking about Jesus, shall all the families of the earth be blessed. There's a promise being made, an announcement. Someone, Jacob, from your family will make sure that all families will be blessed. In Isaiah, a prophet thousands of years before Jesus comes, Isaiah says this, "For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." Can you imagine it? Isaiah with his bell. I have an announcement. To us a child is born, a son is given. Isaiah also says in chapter 7, "Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign." Here's the announcement. A sign is coming. "Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and you shall call his name Emmanuel." Only thousands of years later would that announcement be fulfilled. And then the prophet Micah as well says, "But you, O Bethlehem Ephratah, who are too little to be among the clans of Judah," in this tiny little town of Bethlehem, "from you shall come forth for me one who is to be the ruler of Israel, whose coming forth is from old, from ancient days." There's a big announcement. Bethlehem, you who's little and forgotten, from you will come one who will rule. And then there was silence. For 400 years, the announcements stopped. So for thousands of years, God starts announcing what's to come, what's to come, what's to come. And then he's quiet. It's been said. And then we come to this beautiful evening, this day that we celebrate. The announcement that gets really, really special. I love it because it's like God seeing Jesus born in the most humble of circumstances. He really wants to make this announcement big. But think about it. For the Father, this is a special announcement. His Son is about to come to the earth, born a baby, to be named Jesus. And in some ways, God's about to display his excitement. God's going to display his joy as best he can for this big announcement. So look what he does. Jesus is announced first to a teenage girl, this young girl named Mary, who's betrothed to marry a carpenter, a poor carpenter named Joseph. Betrothed would mean stronger than an engagement. If they were to call that off, they'd have to go through a divorce. But God says, "I'm going to announce it to this teenage girl." And she isn't met by a religious scholar, somebody who knows the prophets. She isn't met by one of the local leaders who knocks on the door and says, "Mary, can I just tell you something?" She isn't even met by a king. She's met by an angel. God says, "Can I show off a bit with this announcement? I'm going to bring an angel. One of my archangels is going to come to you, Mary, and he's going to announce to you this incredible news that, Mary, you will conceive a son, the Son of God, and you'll name him Jesus." God doesn't stop with the announcement. He then goes to Joseph, this poor carpenter. He says, "Well, how do I get Joseph's attention?" I know, in his sleep while he's dreaming. The same angel will go to Joseph in his sleep and say, "Joseph, you need to marry Mary. And you need to raise this child. His name will be Jesus. He is the Son of God." But then the announcement continues. God's got more to say. When Jesus is born, God chooses to tell some shepherds who are in the field. But this time, not just with one angel, God's showing off, right? A choir of angels appear to these shepherds out in the field, and they make this massive announcement. Now, some of you might think, I thought this, what a waste of a good choir. If you think about it, wouldn't you love, I mean, our band, you were like a choir of angels this morning, right? But wouldn't you love a choir of angels just to come before you and to sing? Wouldn't that be amazing? You'd pay good money to get a ticket to watch a choir of angels. But there are shepherds in the field, forgotten, neglected, overlooked, and the choir of angels goes to them. But you know what? That's one of the things I love about God. It's one of the wonders of him, that he comes for all people. God comes to a teenage girl who means nothing in her society. God comes to a poor carpenter who isn't anything great in his community. God goes to the forgotten and overlooked shepherds in a field. And can I encourage you this morning, if you ever feel forgotten or overlooked or that no one notices you, you're in the prime position because God notices you. Even Bethlehem, do you see what the prophet Micah said? He said, "You, O little Bethlehem, who's not even worth being a clan of Judah, in you will come the King of Kings." God's using the unknown, the overlooked, the forgotten to display his glory. So can I encourage you this morning, if you feel a little bit forgotten, God sees you. God knows you. God will send his choir of angels to you to use you and to love you. But look at what these angels then say to the shepherds. In Luke chapter 2, the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy." Hence why we sing "Joy to the World." "And this great joy will be for all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord." There's the announcement. I'm not great at this. "But Christ the Lord, the Messiah, has come. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly, there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts praising God and saying, we sang this morning, "Glory to God in the highest, in excelsis Deo, and on earth, peace among those whom he is pleased." But the announcement continues. God then says, "I actually want to announce this even further, to a foreign land, to star-worshipping magi, also known as the wise men. And they come from a land where they didn't worship God. They looked at the stars. They worshipped the astronomy, I guess. And God must have wondered, how can I tell them? I know how to get their attention." And he gets their attention with a star. But you might be thinking, there are billions of stars. If you look at the sky tonight, if it's clear, which it probably won't be, you would say, what's so special about a star? But this star was different. This star was bigger, it was brighter, and it just appeared, and they noticed it. They got the message, and the message was, a king has come. And they know how special this announcement is, that they are now willing to take a journey of faith thousands of kilometers to the unknown on the hope that this star, which is not normally there, bigger and brighter than all others, is telling us there's a king who's been born. And you know what I love about that story? Is that God knows how to get our attention. God knows how to get your attention. For Joseph, it's in his dreams. God speaks to Joseph several times in the nativity story through dreams. And to get hold of the magi, God says, "I'm going to speak to you through stars. I wonder what your stars are. What is your star?" God knows what your star is. It will get your attention to speak to you. We often say, "God, I need a sign." God says, "I know exactly what you need. I know exactly how to get your attention." And God does it with these magi. And they travel and they look for the king. And then lastly, we see that the announcement is even made to royalty. Even King Herod gets to hear the news that the son of God is born. The King of Kings is born. The wise men tell Herod, "Did you not know that the king would come in Bethlehem?" So God makes this announcement, showing off in many ways to a young teenage girl, to a poor carpenter, to some common, forgotten, overlooked shepherds, to some wise men who don't even know God, and then even to a king. The announcement of this coming Savior is for all people. And God is making much of it. But now let me ask you a key question, like I asked you earlier. How will you respond when those announcements are made? So let's have a look quickly. Mary's amazed. And her first thought is the uncertainty of her worthiness. What makes her worth being the mother of the Son of God? This teenage girl is wondering, how is she considered worthy? But then she believes and she's obedient because, "God, you've called me to, I believe it, I'll do it." Joseph is confused, very much confused. But But he comes to believe and he chooses to go against the cultural expectation placed on him. The cultural expectation would have demanded Joseph to have divorced Mary, and he could have had the right to even have her stoned. But he chooses against all culture. He chooses for the society to laugh at him and say, I'll marry this girl and we will do this. The shepherds have fear, but that fear turns to absolute joy and absolute hope of this good news. The wise men, they're questioning, but then with faith, they journey to experience what they're not sure of, but what they'll come to experience as the promised King of Kings. And Herod, he's fearful and he's selfish. In fact, he is king and he won't have any savior come if it means that he will lose his own glory. So Herod's response is that he'll try and kill this baby Jesus, and he despises the announcement. So what about you this morning, on this Christmas morning? How do you respond to the news that Jesus has come? How do you respond this morning that the Savior has come? The promise is fulfilled. If you're young, if you're poor, if you feel forgotten, even if you've never believed in God, even if you are proud and you're wanting to be the king of your own life, this morning, the great announcement is that Jesus has come for you. A baby has been born for you. Hear the announcement. The Savior has come for you. Glory in the highest. Joy to the world. Hear the news, friends, this morning. Choose him today. This is what we remember today. This is what we celebrate today. I want to show us a video quickly at the team in the back. We showed this during our carols evening, but I find it profound. I'll tell you why now. Can you just show this video quickly? It's the reality of what we just sang about this morning. For unto us a child is born, a son is given. Jesus was a baby. He was like that little baby. Real, raw, crying, easy to hurt. He did cry. I know we sing, no crying he makes. I'm sure he cried. It's not a sin to cry. But it's just the reality of the humility of the King of Kings coming, the Savior of the world coming. And he came in that form to this young girl, this poor carpenter, in those conditions. But that was God's plan of saving the world. A little babe like that, a little baby boy born there in those circumstances. But this morning I'll look at a few more announcements that God goes on to make quickly. See, this baby doesn't stay a baby. And as much as Christmas we think of baby Jesus, it's good. And as Nicole said, the story doesn't end there. But at the age of 30, that baby starts his mission. He starts to do what he came to do and why he was called to come and walk upon this earth as a man named Jesus. He came to save the world. And Jesus was sent for all people to save all people from sin and from death. And this man took on that death. That baby became a man. And that man took on a cross at the age of about 33, and he died for you and me in love. For God so loved the world that he gave us his only son, born as a baby, become a man, dying on the cross, that whoever believes in him will not perish, but will have eternal life. But if Jesus remained dead, and if that's where the story ends, and if he remained in the grave, Paul says in the Bible that you and I, we are the biggest fools. We should not be here today if that's where the story ends, if Jesus remains in the grave. But it doesn't end there. There's another announcement that God makes, a big announcement. And again, this next announcement involves angels at a gravesite. And it involves another Mary who goes to the tomb and finds it empty and finds Jesus is resurrected and Jesus is alive. And then now the angels make an announcement and they say to Mary, why are you looking for the living among the dead? What a big announcement. He's alive. The great announcement. Jesus is alive. Jesus has fulfilled his promise. He has saved the world from sin and death. This, my friends, is great, great news. Far greater than any of those headlines that we saw. Mary goes on to tell the disciples, they meet Jesus, and then he commands them, and this is important, that now they, and then he says it to us, and us, we now are the announcement bearers. We are all called to be the ones who make the announcement. Here on out, make the announcement. Jesus came and Jesus died, but Jesus is risen. The Son of God is alive and we get to make that announcement to all the world. Ring your bell. Jesus is alive. He is the Savior. Believe and be saved. We're all called to be the announcers of this great news. My question to you again, how will you respond to this news? You see, when the world was told that Jesus rose, some believed, some doubted, and then believed, and some chose to never believe. Some still choose to not believe, but there are many waiting to hear the good news. Friends, on Christmas Day, we remember the announcement of the baby Jesus born, but we also need to remember the announcements of the man Jesus who rose in victory from the grave. Next announcement. Big news, friends. I have an announcement to make. I feel nervous even saying that to you. He's coming again. Jesus is coming again. This is an announcement, friends, that's already been made. It's been made over and over again. Thousands of years ago, this announcement was already made and is yet to happen. But Jesus is coming again. And look at how big this announcement's going to be. In 1 Thessalonians, speaking about the day Jesus comes again and how grand an announcement will be, because now again, the Father is going to make a big show of this. He made a big show when his son came the first time. He's going to make a bigger show when his son comes the second time. Thessalonians says, for the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a cry of command, with the voice of an archangel again announcing, and with the sound of the trumpet of God. Trumpets are going to sound, angels are going to declare and announce, and from the clouds it says, from the heavens, he will come. Revelation 1 says, behold, he's coming with the clouds and every eye will see him. I don't know if you've ever wondered, Lord, would I not know if you came back? No, you'll know. Everyone will know. You might get worried and say, Jesus, have you already come back? And I just don't know. Or our news network's so bad that they're so caught up with the Democrats versus Republicans that they've forgot that the Son of God is back. No, you'll know. Every I will see, the trumpets will blow, the archangels declare, you will know when Jesus comes again. And then in Revelation 22, it says, he who testifies to these things says, this is what Jesus says to us, surely I'm coming soon. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. And the grace of the Lord Jesus be with all. Amen. He's coming again. to complete his promise of a perfect salvation, to bring heaven and earth together, to be with us forever, to give us the lives that God created every single one of us to have, with no sin, no evil, no pain, no suffering. He's coming, friends. Jesus is coming soon. Hear the announcement. And then hear the announcement when he comes. It's going to be grand. It's going to be glorious. And we will celebrate it. All will know. All will worship. So let me ask you again. How will you respond to that announcement? Are you ready? It's soon. No one could say Jesus isn't coming today. No one could say Jesus isn't coming tomorrow. But he's coming, and are you ready? Do you believe? And do you believe that Jesus, this baby, who died, who rose, and is coming again, this king is coming for you? And the way he describes it best, he says, he is the groom coming for you and me, his bride. I've done a few weddings lately, and I love that moment of the groom standing at the end of the aisle. And sometimes he's not allowed to look, and he's looking there, and he's like, can I look now? Can I look now? Because the bride's coming down. Eventually, when he sees, everyone's looking at the bride and the groom, and the bride and the groom, and he's got tears, and she's happy. It's just a joyous moment of waiting to them coming together, holding hands, to that moment of, you may now kiss the bride, and there's a rapturous celebration. Jesus says, that's him coming for you and me. The groom is coming for his bride. He can't wait. Perhaps we're doing our makeup. I don't know. I don't know what happens in that room. You're getting your dress ready, but metaphorically, we're in that place, but the groom is waiting and waiting and waiting. He's looking down the aisle saying, is she here yet? Is she here yet? I'm waiting. But the announcement's going to be so big and so grand and incredible. And that announcement, friends, is for all of us today. So with each of these announcements, because it's Christmas, I want to encourage you to receive the gifts of every single one of those moments. Firstly, when Jesus was born, the gift of hope was given. Hope finally returned. Remember, God was quiet for 400 years. Can you fathom 400 years? 400 years ago was 1623. I do not know what happened then. That's so far back in history. You might know. But 400 years, hope came when Jesus was born. The Savior has come. Do you need hope today? Well, remember, Jesus has come. There's your hope. When Jesus was risen, we received the gift of grace. How beautiful that moment when grace was freely given into this world that was broken in sin. Grace that was not paid for with money, grace that was not paid for with our works or even with our blood, but all because of Jesus. Because he rose from the grave, we receive grace, mercy, and acceptance to God again. Friends, today, receive grace. Receive grace from Jesus, not from anything you've done, but from him. And receive it freely. You might say, but Jesus, I didn't get you anything. No, he just loves you, and he wants to be with you. And when Jesus comes again, receive the gift of victory. Victory will be in Jesus completely, and we will have victory too. I know many of us, many of you are facing very difficult trials. You've had a tough year. Many of you have lost loved ones this year, and it's hard. And this is tough. But here's the promise of Jesus. He says, I've come to give you victory. Victory for an eternity. Remember it today. Receive it today. Receive Jesus today and be in his victory. Somebody didn't understand that. Come see me afterwards. Last announcement. It says that when one of us, just one of us, says, Jesus, I believe in you. I believe that you were a baby who came upon this earth. I believe that you ministered and you preached about the kingdom of God. I believe, Jesus, you died on that cross for me. I believe you rose again. Jesus, I believe you're coming again. The moment you declare that in heaven, there's an announcement that's made. And they say, that one person, they believe. And you know what happens? Scripture says in heaven, this party goes on. There's an incredible celebration at the announcement. that Greg has accepted Jesus into his life, that Nicole has accepted Jesus into his life, that Nathan has accepted Jesus into his life. The moment that is done, heaven rings the bell and says, stop, we have an announcement to make. Another believes in Jesus. Friends, I want to invite you this morning. If you have never asked Jesus as your Lord and Savior, the scripture's clear. It says, believe and be saved. Man, the angels, those bells are waiting to be rung. They want to announce that you accepted Jesus as Lord and Savior. This morning, I want to give you that chance. That chance to let the bells ring, to let heaven have a party today because you have come to salvation. Let the announcement be big. Let the announcement be large. And I'm going to give us a moment. So think about that. If this morning that's you, I'm going to ask you just to raise up your hands so I can pray with you. Because God's got the bell. And God knows what he's doing in your heart. But let's end this morning, friends. With this Christmas morning, can I encourage you, hear the announcements that are being made. One more time. Jesus has come. Hear the announcement. Jesus has risen. Can you hear the bells ringing? Jesus is coming again. That's still to happen. Are you ready? Are you in anticipation of that? Are you excited with that? Let's remember them. And today, let's celebrate all these announcements. Could I ask you to stand and let's give our God thanks for such a good announcement that he's made. So this morning, as you think of all these announcements this morning, I don't know what you're doing today. If you're with family, if you're with friends, if you may be on your own, it's okay. But just think about the announcements continually being made over and over again. I hope this bell gets stuck in your head. Hear the announcement. The King has come. A son is given. The Savior has come. There's salvation for this world. Joy to the world. A new and glorious morning is today. If you don't mind closing your eyes, I'd love to pray for us. And before I do, pray for all of us. If this morning you're saying, Greg, I've never asked Jesus. I've never believed. Maybe you're like the Magi. And there's a star this morning of some sort tugging at your heart. And God's saying, do you see the star? Do you see the star? Will you believe? Will you follow it? And go and meet your King. He's waiting for you. If you're like the Magi this morning and you need to take a step of faith, all I'm going to ask you this morning is just to raise your hand and say, I want to believe in Jesus today. Let the bells ring. If that's you, I'll give you 20 seconds just to raise your hand and I'd love to pray. Anybody here this morning that I can pray with? Seeing a hand. Thank you, sir. Seeing a hand. Come on. Friends, there's a hand that went up. You know what we need to do. Let's ring that bell. Come on. I think we're going to keep this bell up here for those moments, hey? I'm going to pray. Friends, I want to pray for a friend who's just lifted up his hand there. And as I am, you just pray as well. Can I ask you this morning, in the midst of the joy, in the midst of what's for lunch and the gifts and all these things, just take a moment and just say, Jesus, thank you for the greatest gift. And we've got to be careful that never sounds cheesy. Can't. It's real. This baby was born. We can rejoice today, friends, because there's a Savior. And we'll get to celebrate in the fullness of when Jesus comes. I want to pray for you, sir, just as you're there. Jesus, bless this man. Lord, may the heaven bells ring as he believes in you, Jesus, and says, Lord, be my Savior. May he know you. May he follow you. May you not be a baby to him. May you be the man who died on the cross for him, Lord. May this morning he know that he receives the greatest gift he'll ever will. That's you, Jesus, a Savior who has saved him for an eternity. The gift that would never perish. It's you, Jesus. Bless him. Bless you, my friend. And Lord, we give you glory. In excelsis Deo. Glory to God in the highest. For unto us a child is born, a son is given. Joy to this world. Grace has come. A Savior has come.